Psalm 4, a psalm that David says most likely in an evening hour where he is deeply concerned about his future. He's concerned that enemies are going to come get him. And yet in this psalm, we see fear given to God and turned into peace. Sometimes I lament the different things that I get the opportunity to preach on, because one of my cardinal sins is laying my head down in my pillow at night and overthinking. I might worry about something I said that day. I might worry about something that randomly popped in my head that still bothers me from years ago. I might worry about something that I have to do the next week. Yet Psalm 4 teaches us how to let go and give control to God. Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, in the silence of the stars, in the rolling of the hills, in the heaving of the sea, we see you, Lord. In the voice of a child, in the voice of a stranger, we hear you, Lord. In the longing of our minds and the calming of our hearts, we feel you, Lord. I ask that you allow me to move aside and let your words be spoken. Amen. So peace is something that I think we all work for and strive for. And in this psalm, David is doing just that. I gave an example of how we might, as humans, try to construct the feeling and semblance of peace. It might be in checking our finances. I know sometimes Dan will come in and be like, my 401k did great this week. And then maybe he'll come in a couple weeks later and be like, oh my gosh, I can't ever retire, right? So this checking of something that makes you feel secure because you're planning for the future can both bring joy and fear just in limited amounts of time. The thing that I do in my life, in fact, I showed a picture of it in 9:30 Contemporary, and literally the congregation laughed, and some of them went, oh. I have a color-coded calendaring system that every Thursday afternoon, I will look at my next week, and I will block time for things that are to come. Green is for my family. Red is church. Blue are baptisms. Purple is for Baylor schoolwork that I have the joy of doing on my day off on Friday. And now I have a new color because we started the residency program, and they have the gift of being brown. So in this calendar, I have all these things. Walk my dog at 7 o'clock. I do that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I did that on Tuesday last week, not Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I have spin class on my calendar on Thursday and Friday. I didn't do that. I had dinner with a friend on Tuesday, totally did that. Dan and I celebrated our anniversary Wednesday night, 26 years, whoop, whoop. And we still like each other most of the time. I consider it a win. And then there's my day, right? Here's the thing. The semblance of order that color coding my day brings isn't peaceful. It doesn't mean that my day is actually going to happen that way. It gives me a sense and a semblance of control. And David is telling us in this psalm to stop, to pause, to reflect, to recognize God, and to lay down and be in peace. I want to start in the very beginning. And in fact, in my Bible, it says this: a confident plea for deliverance from enemies. And it starts kind of angry. I mean, you can say it kindly. You could say, "Answer me when I call, O God." But I feel like in this moment of David's life, he's more like, "Answer me when I call. Of my right, you give me room when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayers." This psalm doesn't start peaceful. It starts in desperation. It starts in fear. And I want you to hear that prayer is not going to change David's circumstance. It is going to change his heart. For prayer is what connects us to God. We don't need the right words, but we need the heart to let it go and give it to God. When I was at the children's camp last weekend, do you know if I asked somebody to pray, like almost every single hand would go up in the room? These were fourth, fifth, and sixth graders. Who wants to pray? Bow! If I said to y'all right now, "I would like you to do my closing prayer," who would like to do it? Do you know what? The majority of you, you'd look down. Something happens in our life where we go from this absolute confidence of letting it go and giving it to God to, "Kim's here, she can do it, she got a robe, it's fine, don't worry." Yet prayer isn't about the words. It's about the heart. The biggest thing that I think we can do to separate us from the heart of God is not recognizing that in whatever our circumstance, God is with us. And we might wake up in the morning and our circumstance may not change so much, but our heart has, which means our eyes have, which means our words have. I think about this psalm about this. I had a very horrible sermon illustration planned for today. I was gonna tell every single one of you to turn your phones on. I wanted to hear every bing, ding, bop, ring, alert somebody at your front door. Y'all, my dishwasher texts me now. My dishwasher. I was at work and I got a notification, "Your dishes are done." I'm like, what is happening? I had an actual experience. So I'm pretty good with my notifications. Like around 9:30 at night, my phone goes whoop, silenced, right? Unless you're my husband, child, or mother, you're going to voicemail, right? Because I'm going to bed. Well, when I was at children's camp last week, I was the camp chaplain, and so I needed to be on call to the camp. And so I made sure my ringer was on as I went to bed at 10 o'clock because I like to go to bed. And we had a GroupMe app, and that GroupMe dinged, donged, beeped, whizzed, whopped for until about midnight. And every single time I would check it because I just needed to make sure, like, is this talking to me? Is this a camp situation? And then every bing, bop, and whiz did not bring me peace. It made me go, oh, oh. And I finally just sat up in bed holding my phone, just reading all the messages. And around midnight, I thought, we're all in the same camp. They know where I'm at. I think this psalm is what happens when you can silence the dings, the bops, the beeps, the notifications. And you focus all of that on the heart of God. In verse 4, when you are disturbed, do not sin. Ponder it on your beds and be silent. See, the sin is the notifications, the alerts that come from the outside world that remind us that we're not good enough, that remind us that we need more to do, that remind us that it is a never-ending race. Yet David pauses instead of reacting. I have a saying as a mama, and also you'll hear me say it just as a human, every feeling you have is right and just. How do you choose to respond to that is up to you. So I think a modern reflection of this pausing is something that we did in our family. I still actually do it. I kind of did it last night. Because I went to bed last night overthinking something, of course, right after preaching this message. And I had to stop and pause because I knew I had to look y'all in the face this morning and say, God, this is yours, not mine. So kind of a modern pause and reflection that we like to do in our family. It's called the 5-5-5 rule. In 5 days, is this still gonna matter? About 90% of the time when you have a lot of emotions about something, the answer is absolutely, in 5 days this will matter. Most of the time, it may or may not. In 5 weeks, in 5 months, in 5 years, am I even going to remember what I'm worrying about right now? So David starts in the first verse calling out to God to respond to him. And by verse 4, he says, I need to pause, to trade in my fear and my anxiety for prayer, recognizing that God is in control. I think it's so beautiful. Silencing all the outside things so that we can focus on God. Right? We have, I'm using the iPhone as a thing, we have the outside world constantly coming at us. Remember Robert Hasley's phone used to have like notifications of like hundreds of text messages. And I would think, how do you sleep at night? But it's silencing all of that, putting all of those notifications and giving them at the foot of the cross into the heart of God, knowing that God's abundance cannot be taken away, cannot be returned, cannot be bought on Amazon. This abundance David talks about in verse 7. You have put gladness in my heart, more than when their grain and wine abound. Abundance. David is recognizing that God's presence produces an abundant life. He's naming and claiming it to grain and wine being abundant, which in this time was an amazing thing. But the joy that comes from God's abundance cannot be purchased, cannot be taken away. And when we recognize this, that God is enough, it brings us to the next verse. I want to remind you how this started. Verse 1, answer me when I call, O God of my right. Do you hear the anxiety, the uncertainty? This psalm ends like this. I will both lie down and sleep in peace. The abundance of Christ can transform almost any space. See, he ends with not just, I will sleep in peace. David should not have lied down. His enemies were coming for him. yet it flipped. Not only could he lie down, he could lie down in peace. Because he traded in his fear, he traded in his sense of control, he traded in a semblance and a production of peace for what actually can transform. It's the heart of God that can allow us, no matter what we wake up to recognize God's presence in the moment. One thing my calendar did not show was how I start my day on my best days. I always want to say every day, but I feel like I might lie a little bit. But on my best days, I go and grab a cup of coffee, because that makes me a better human. And I go sit on my back porch. Usually there's doves. My dogs don't like the doves, so that can interrupt the peace. But I say a simple sentence. How do you need me today, God? Where should my hands go? Where should my heart go? What should my words do? I have some apps that I might use to pray. This week, I've been reading Psalm 4, because I really think it was God's joke on me that I needed to pray this psalm this week. To allow whatever ism that I might be focused on, to drop that. To silence the notifications of the outside world, to then transform my heart and my mind in Christ. It only took 8 verses for David to do so. And his circumstances may or may not change the next morning, but what did change was his heart. And as I said before, when your heart is changed through the peace that surpasses all understanding in Christ, then everything else is transformed. You're driving in traffic and somebody cuts you off. Instead of thinking, you think maybe they're going to a hospital visit. You have a coworker that might just kind of peck at your patience. You think, God, how can I be there for them today? That isn't always natural to us, but when we trade our fear and our anxiety for the heart of God, everything else is transformed. So how are you trying to create your own peace? I named that it's my calendar. I think it's beautiful. And it gives me a sense of organization and control. But really, my peace comes from when I start my day quiet. I don't have my phone with me. And I lay down everything that might be a distraction, and I focus my heart and my mind on Christ Jesus. May we all do that just a little bit better tomorrow, maybe a little bit more the next day, so that we can, as David did, lie down and sleep. Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, as we go forth from this place, let us let go of whatever fears or anxieties that we might have. And in that tension, let us grab on to you. Let us know that you are the master, the teacher, the healer in our lives. You are at the center. So that we may know that when we are asleep, you are still awake, active in our lives. We say this in your holy and precious name. Amen.